This morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. This is Thanksgiving week. And we have a lot of things to be thankful for. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for our church. Amen. I'm thankful most of all for my salvation. And because all those things I don't deserve. I don't deserve. But we should be thankful for things that happen to us. We'll find out today the good things and the bad things. This morning, the title of my message is Thank God for You. And we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. But before we read God's word, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've taken our sins away. Lord, we thank you that we can sing of your mercies. Father, we just ask that you just help us, Lord, to come to you and that we could find your living water today. Father, I just ask, help us, Lord, to have a spirit of thankfulness. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to you, Lord, and help us, Lord, to follow you with all of our heart. Father, I pray that your word, Lord, and its truth would change our lives. And Father, that it would just make us more like you. Father, someone here does not know you as Savior. If they die right now, they don't know where they would spend eternity. Lord, today I pray that this would be the day of their salvation. Father, realize that you did. You died on the cross. You were buried, rose again the third day to bring the gift of heaven to all those who just ask for forgiveness of sins and accept your gift. Father, I just ask that you just help us today, Lord. We're a needy people. And help us, Lord, to see your truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, Paul writes all these letters to all these churches. Every one of them starts out very similarly. It starts out with him being thankful. It starts out with him greeting one another in the grace of God. And Philippians is no different. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that I could be the servant of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that there are other servants of Jesus Christ out here. And I am sure that Paul was very thankful for Timothy, and Timothy was very thankful for Paul. It says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. I'm thankful for the church at Philippi. I'm thankful for each church that's preaching the gospel this morning. I'm thankful for all those that have accepted Christ as their Savior. We need to be thankful for those things. Amen. With the bishops and deacons. I'm thankful for leadership. I'm thankful for spiritual leadership. I'm thankful for spiritual mentoring. In verse 2, though, I'm most of all thankful for God's grace. Is it grace be unto you? You know, grace can only come from God. He's the God of all grace. We ought to be thankful for something that we don't deserve, and that's God's grace. It says also, and peace. I'm thankful for peace in a world that is not peaceful. No matter what, where you are, what's going on in your life, you could still have the peace of God, which what? Passeth all understanding. We need to be thankful for that. And see, there's a lot of things that we could be thankful for. And when we're thankful for the same things, we could be thankful for each other. It says, grace and peace, and grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then here's the key verse for our message this morning. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. When people remember you, how do they see you? What do they remember out of you? We'll find out today about that. It says here, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. You know, when we remember other saints, we remember other Christians, and we remember the fellowship, that ought to make us happy. It ought to make us happy. We ought to be joy-filled with that. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. See, it was not hard for Paul to think about this. If it's hard to think of these things for other people, there's an issue. need to get that resolved. He says, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. The same grace that he received from God. So, in way of introduction, we need to understand that Paul had a tender relationship with all of his churches. But there was a special piece in his heart, a special part of his heart for the church at Philippi. You know, in the book of Corinthians, he talks about all the things that goes through it. He says, talk about the care of the churches. Paul did that cheerfully. He did that thankfully. And so, Paul had a tender relationship with the Christians at Philippi. He thanked God for every time he thought of them. That's a pretty significant event in itself. You know, we should have that kind of love today. You know, when we think of a fellow Christian, we think of a family member, we should thank God for them. However, we know that today that there are wrong relationships that flourish in many churches today. And sometimes that makes a church not be thankful for one another. You know, there's people who cannot forgive. Folks, if you've been forgiven by Christ, you should be thankful for that. Right. And that should cause you to forgive other people. There should be none of this holding grudges in the church at all. Amen. You know, Christ died for everybody. He didn't die for a select few. Therefore, we should have a church that's in unity as a body of Christ. And we should not be splintered up into small groups. But there's people that do that. And they're only thankful for these people, not thankful for everyone. Folks, that's not the way that we should show the thankfulness of God. Because what happens is, if we're not forgiving, if we're unthankful, if we don't want, or we're not merciful, we are powerless as a church. We could say the right things, but the power won't be there. See, wrong relationships hurt the church. Wrong relationships hurt the church. This morning I want to point out three things about Paul's statement on thanksgiving. The first one is this, that there is a value in remembering. You know, man has been made uniquely by God, and he's given us the ability to remember. And if he's given us the ability to remember, then there are things that we need to remember, both good and bad. He gives us his word, and there's instructions to remember in the Bible, and I want to share four of these real quick. First of all, the first instruction is we need to remember in the present. We need to remember today. We need to understand what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. He says, remember now. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday. Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. We need to take time to remember. Sometimes we get so busy that we just don't find the time to reflect on God's goodness. And we forget his benefits. It says, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. See, if we don't remember, then there's going to come a time that we won't have any satisfaction. We won't be happy. We won't find pleasure in the days that we're on this earth. You know, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice in what? And be glad in it. See, instructions to remember in the Bible is we need to remember in the present. We also need to remember for the future. Things that we do today have an impact on the future. In Luke chapter 17, Christ is talking about the end times. He's talking about the tribulation period. He's talking about the significance of that and for people to be ready. You know, Christ, time after time after time after, he says, be ready. Be ready. Be ready for eternity. Be ready for my coming back. Be ready. And in verse 32 of 17 of Luke 17 is a very short verse. He says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. See, Lot was brought into the well-watered plains of Sodom because Abraham deferred. He should have been thankful for what God had given him, and that should have drawn him closer to God. But Lot went into the city and he forgot God. And when he forgot God, he became unthankful. And he's basically just trying to patchwork his life to make it acceptable. But then when he's drawn out of the city, he says, what? Don't look back. Last Sunday night, we talked about not looking back. Because if we look back at the world, we're not fit for the kingdom of God. And we know what happened to Lot's wife. She looked back. When God told them specifically, don't look back, she was turned into a pillar of salt. Folks, we need to understand there's something that we need to remember. And that could protect us in the future. We need to remember the instructions of God. We need to remember them now. We need to remember them when the event is happening. The third thing we need to remember is we need to remember the price of our salvation. This morning I want us to remember. Tonight I want us to reflect. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Celebrating the Lord's Supper is a remembrance issue. And in 1 Corinthians 11 verses 24 and 25 talk about the elements, the bread and the juice. It says, and when he had given thanks. See, if Christ was thankful, we need to be thankful too. And it says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Oh, folks, every day we should remember the price that Christ paid on the cross. We should remember what his body took for our sins. See, he was bruised for our iniquity. He was wounded for our transgressions. And by his stripes we are what? Healed. We need to remember that. We need to remember the price of salvation. Verse 25 says, and after the same manner he took the cup. What did he do? He gave thanks. When he is supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Oh, folks, we need to remember what Christ did on the cross. We need to remember his blood sacrifice. We need to remember all those things and be thankful. And be thankful of that. Folks, we would be nothing without God. Amen. We'd be going nowhere without God. Amen. 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 So we need to remember in the present. We need to remember in the future. We need to remember the price of our salvation. And fourthly, we need to remember to not go back. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Because if you look back, you'll go back. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, there's seven letters written to the seven churches in Asia. Starts out with the church at Ephesus. And basically, they started out well, but then they didn't remember what the priorities were. And they let good things come in and take place of the best things. Because that's what happens if you don't remember. You don't remember what God tells us to do. And so in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, it says, remember therefore from whence thou art what? Fallen. And repent. This morning, is there something that God's bringing to mind that we need to get right with him this morning? Is there something that God brings to mind that we're supposed to praise him for and thank him for? Oh, folks, let's do that today. It says, and do the what? The first works, the works that you forgot. We're supposed to remember God and forget not his benefits. Or else I will come to thee quickly and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Folks, there is value in remembering. And Christ gives us instructions to remember in the Bible. Paul remembered Philippi. You can, later on today, if you want to, you go to Acts chapter 16. It talks about the circumstances before he got there. You know, Paul remembered the circumstances that brought him there in the first place. See, it wasn't Paul's intention to go there at all. He was busy in Asia Minor and there was great success there. And he wanted to go to another city in modern day Turkey, and the Spirit said no. And then he gets a vision of a man over in Macedonia saying, come and help us. You know, there's a lot of times that God speaks to us and we don't remember. And we're not thankful. And so Paul remembers this. And so he goes straight to Troy. And he gets on a ship and he goes across the strait there. And he winds up getting into Macedonia. And the very first place he goes to is Philippi. It's the first place. He goes there on a Sabbath day, and the story goes that he finds a small group of worshipers on the side of the bank. And they're looking forward to the promise of Christ. And Paul goes in that small group and starts talking to them. And then there's a woman by the name of Lydia who was a garment maker. She made cloth. Got saved. You know, Paul remembered Philippi. He remembered how he got there. God led him there. He was thankful for that. And all those people in Philippi were thankful for that too. Especially Lydia. Think about that. And then, as he goes on, you know, every time that you start something, there's always someone that says no. And so later on in that chapter, it talks about this woman with divination who was used by these two guys to bring money to them, to profit them. It was basically following Paul and Barnabas around and saying, these are the prophets of the Most High God. These are the servants of the Most High God. Worship them. Paul turned around and rebuked the unclean spirit and made the woman whole. That woman was thankful. We need to be thankful for the things that we can do for God. But then it landed him in jail. It landed him in jail. And we know the story about he goes to the Philippian jail and he and Silas were is preaching or singing at night, and all of a sudden there's an earthquake and then chains on their wrists fell off. That's kind of interesting. And then the jailer thought that everybody had escaped and was going to take his own life. And Paul said, no, we're all here. And what happened? You know, the jailer at that time, Weiss, was thankful. He was thankful they were all there. He was thankful that he didn't have to take his own life and be responsible for what happened. And then when he saw the faith of Paul and Silas, he took them home and washed their stripes. And as he was saved and his family was saved, they were thankful. You know, we need to understand. And we need to remember. And remembering the high points in our Christian life should make us thankful. We should all be thankful for getting saved. We should all remember the day of our conversion. And if you can't remember that, then you need to get that right today. We need to remember when we surrendered to Christ. God asked us to do something. We saw it through us leading of the Holy Spirit. We did something. It was successful. And we said, wow. We need to be thankful that God would use a sinner such as I. How wonderful His love for me. Oh, we need to be thankful. You know, better days are coming. But we should have better days in the past. And we need to remember them. And we need to be thankful for them, because there is value in remembering. Secondly, there is value to remembering positive things about others. Now, this is a very interesting phrase in verse 3. It says, every remembrance of you. You know what we would tend to do? we would tend to focus on the negative. We would tend to focus on all the things that have been done wrong to us. Because it's all about me. The Christ says, think on things of others and not on your own things. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, was the church at Philippi perfect? No. There are no perfect churches. And if there was a perfect church, the time that you went into it would be imperfect. Think about it. Because we're just all sinners saved by grace. And we all do wrong things. There are no perfect pastors either. I will readily admit that I make mistakes. I readily admit that there are things that I do wrong. But God gives grace. And God gives mercy. But you know, that shouldn't give us the license to say, well, I'm done with that person. I'll go find someplace. If you just keep on finding someone like you, think of this. What would happen if you did find a church that was all like you? Would that be a good church? Or would that be something somebody would forget? See, Paul refused to dwell on the negatives. As I said before, he greets all these churches with a very similar gracious welcome. And I find it interesting, knowing now, you look at back in hindsight, at the letters that he wrote to the church at Corinth. There was a bunch of problems in Corinth. There was division. There was infighting. There was cliques. There was immorality. There was selfishness. People were suing one another. Everything else. But look at what he says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, Paul writes this. He says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. See, it's not us, it's God's church.
Right.
Okay? To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you. See, there's a perspective that we need today, folks. It's a perspective of grace. It's a perspective of peace. You know what he said to the Philippians? Grace and peace. You know what he said to the Corinthians? Grace and peace. You know what he said to the Galatians? Grace and peace. You know what he said to the Ephesians? Grace and peace. Because if we don't have God's grace and God's peace, this is hopeless. This is hopeless. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And before he gets into all the stuff that was going on, he says, I thank my God always on your behalf. For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Oh, the church at Philippi was not perfect. The church at Corinth is not perfect. We have our own issues. You know, were there gossips there? Yeah. Were there troublemakers there? Probably. Okay. But Paul didn't focus on these negative characteristics. What Paul did is he looked at the positive things. Paul thought about those who were faithful. Because if you look at the people who are not faithful, that'll get you discouraged. That'll make you want to give up. That'll make you want to say it's not worth it. It'll make you not become thankful. It'll make you unthankful. See, he thought about their fellowship. You know, we should be thankful that we have the opportunity to gather together as a group.
Amen.
And we need to remember that. And we need to remember the common grace and the common peace and the common salvation and all the things that we have in common. We have a lot more in common than we have different in Jesus Christ. And if we have a lot more differences, it wasn't God that brought differences, it was us. He says, their fellowship in the gospel in verse 5, he says, always in every prayer. In verse 4 he says, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. See, Paul expressed his thankfulness to God in prayer. And then in verse 5, he says this. He says, for your fellowship and the gospel from the first day unto now. You know, I'll be honest with you. If I went to a town and I was thrown in jail, I probably wouldn't want to go back. If I was in a town and I was beaten unjustly, I wouldn't want to go back. But look at what Paul's forgotten all those things. Paul's forgotten all the negative stuff. He's looked at the positive things. And he says, their fellowship, for he says, from the first day until now. So he talks about their fellowship in the gospel. He talks about their commitment to God in verse 6. He says, being confident is this very thing. See, Paul was thankful for their faith, and Paul knew that their faith would be made whole. And he says that he which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It brought him encouragement. Try and be thankful for a while. I guarantee you it'll change your perspective on life. It'll change your perspective on your family. It'll change your perspective on church. He was encouraged by this. And it says, because I have you in my heart, in as much as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are what? You are partakers of my grace. Oh. Some cared and shared. Some gave sacrificially. He sees all this. And Paul remembered them. When you think of this church, do you think of the positive people or do you think of the negative people? Which is the first thing that comes to your mind? See, if it's all about the negative, then there's an issue here. You need to get that right today. Amen. Oh, by the way, you're out of the will of God. We'll get to there in a minute, okay? But the issue is we need to think on the positive things. Are we just thankful for some? Or should we be thankful for all? We should be thankful for all. Well, there's value in remembering. There's a value in remembering positive things about us. There's no value in remembering all the bad stuff. You know why? Because it gets you bad. Thirdly, there's value in expressing appreciation to those we love. You know, how many times that we just say something and we don't follow it up with some sort of action? Paul went beyond this. And Paul wasn't just thankful. He told him in this letter. He told in every letter that he wrote to all these churches. He was thankful. Because he saw there was a purpose in that. There was a usefulness in that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, he says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. You know something? You can't remember anything you don't think about. You can't remember anything that you don't recognize. And so Paul recognized these things and he remembered these things. He was thankful to people for that. He says, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And to what? And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And then be at peace with yourselves. See, Paul wasn't just thankful. He told them so. He told the Philippians. In Thessalonica, he says the same thing. You know, it's hard to convince someone that you like them unless you do something for them. It's hard to convince that you love someone unless you do something for them. It's hard to convince somebody that you appreciate them if you never say anything or never do anything. See, what good is appreciation if it is never expressed? This is Thanksgiving week. There's a lot of things to be thankful for. And we need to express them. Appreciation must be spoken. And it needs to be written out. You know, I challenge you this week. Send a text to someone Tell them how much you appreciate them. Don't lie. Okay? And if you have to say a lie, then there's something wrong in your spirit. Get that right first. But take an effort this week to be thankful. To tell someone that you are thankful. And how much they mean to you. It'll be an encouragement. And you never know what impact that's going to have. I guarantee you, from my own personal experience, on the days that I'm down the most, I'll get someone that says, thank you. And that keeps you going on. Paul's in prison. He writes this letter. The only thing he has to hang on to is God and his memories. That all the things that he has done has not been in vain. We need to be thankful for that. We need to express that thankfulness. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, I close with this. It says, in everything give thanks. For what? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you say you're a Christian and you're not thankful for anything, you are out of God's will. You need to get that right today. If you say you're a Christian and you're not thankful for what Christ has done on the cross for you, you may not be saved. You need to get that right today. We need a relationship, and a relationship will bring thankfulness. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to remember you. Help us, Lord, to be thankful. Help us, Lord, to love you. Help us, Lord, to express our thankfulness to you, Lord. Not just in word, but also in deed. Help us, Lord, to be in your will concerning this thing. Father, as someone here does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that this would be the day that they would realize that you died on the cross for their sins. You were buried and you rose the third day to show that you have power over sins and power to forgive sins and power to give eternal life. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here who does not know you, Lord, they would come forward when we start singing. And we'll show them from your word how they can get saved. Father, help us, Lord, as a church to be thankful for one another. Help us, Lord, to be gracious to one another. And Father, if we're not doing that right now, Lord, we repent of that and help us to be right today. We thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.